2 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll pick up verse number 5. The Bible says, "For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been truly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore? Because I love you not? God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them, which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also." So here's some verses that are really different. They're Paul's foolish boastings. Really, his boastings are going to continue all the way to the end of the chapter, but we're going to stop verse 21. That list from verse 22 to down through verse 33 is what I would call Paul's resume. And we'll get to that at another time, but Paul's going to spend some time bragging, boasting, glorying in himself. And, you know, that is a sin. It's a sin to brag. It's a foolish thing to boast. As a matter of fact, the same guy who's writing this, just look at verse 10. I'll just show you all these verses he said that we just read. Verse 10, "As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting." You see? Look at verse 16. "I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little." Verse 17, "That which I speak it not of the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting." He's bragging. He's boasting about his ministry in the Lord. And the same guy that wrote that wrote verse 17 of the previous chapter. Would you look at that? In chapter 10, verse 17, he says, "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Well, then what are you doing, Paul, glorying in the things that you are accomplishing? The same guy that wrote this about boasting, and nobody's going to stop me from this boasting, said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, he talked about those perilous times, and he said men would be boasters. That's a warning. That's a bad thing. That's not a good thing. As a matter of fact, he also wrote in the book of Romans chapter 3 when he was describing how man needed to come to God and his salvation and recognize the fact that he's such a sinner. He said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 27, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded." By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. So the man that spent so many verses telling us not to boast spends quite a few verses boasting. It's almost like Jesus when he said that, you know, we're not to call our brother a fool, and then he called a bunch of people fools. Has that never struck anybody?
Yeah.
And he didn't do anything wrong. Now, Paul's got a reason for it. He's not sinfully boasting, but he's doing it for a reason, but it's still a foolish thing to do. Notice how many times he said it was foolish. He said there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 21, he said, "Howbeit, when whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I'm bold also. You did something big, I did something big too. You're bold for Jesus, I'm bold for Jesus too." And he says, as he's doing this, he says, "I speak foolishly." This is not a spiritual exercise he's involved in, but he feels like he has to do it for a reason. Look at verse 17. "That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confident boasting." Notice in verse 17, he says, "I'm not speaking this after the Lord." You know, the Lord Jesus Christ never boasted about anything. So when he says, "I'm speaking this not after the Lord," he's not saying that this is not the Scripture. He's just saying that this is not the way Jesus talked. This is not the exercise that he was involved in. I'm not following his pattern when I'm starting to boast to you. Well then, Paul, why in the world are you doing it? Well, he said in verse 10, "No man shall stop me of this boasting, because," in verse 10, "the truth of Christ is in me." The truth of Christ was in Paul, and as we've already preached on verse 13, 14, 15, there were these fakes that had come into Corinth. And evidently, they had been boasting and bragging about their accomplishments, and they had impressed the Corinthians. And the Corinthians were impressed by these fakers. And so Paul says, "I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my resume up against their resume and let you decide. Who's got a better resume? I'm going to boast myself a little." Look at verse 16. I think verse 16 is funny. He says, "I say again, let no man think me a fool." He said, "I'm not a fool." But watch it. "Let no man think me a fool if otherwise." In other words, if you do think me a fool, he said, "yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little." He said, "I don't care if you think I'm a fool or if you think I'm not a fool. The important thing is for you to listen to me. The important thing for you to do is to understand that the truth of God is being given to you through my apostleship. You need to listen to me. So whether you think I'm great or whether you think I'm crazy, listen to what I'm trying to say to you. And if I have to brag and boast a while to get you to listen and quit listening to these fakers, that's what I'll do." Now, in chapter 7, verse 14, he had boasted to Titus about Corinth. In chapter 8, that's a word that's used several times in these last four chapters. In chapter 8 and verse 24, he talked about our boasting on your behalf before the churches. He had boasted to other churches, bragged on Corinth to other churches. In chapter 9 and verse number 2, 3, and 4, he talks about the boasting to them of Macedonia and Achaia about their sacrifice and about their plan to give to missions. So he's using boasting and bragging. He's trying to use it for a purpose to get people to do what they ought to do for God. So it's almost like that one verse when he talks about being crafty. I caught you with guile. He's trying to use whatever tools he can to get them to listen to God and to obey God. And the purpose of this, look at verse 12, of this boasting. Verse 12, "But what I do, that I will do," all this boasting, "that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we." In other words, all these that have been glorying, I mean, when they came to town, these false apostles, these deceitful workers, these ministers of righteousness, but they were really ministers of the devil, and Corinth had received them, and they're preaching another Jesus, and they have another spirit, and they have another gospel, and they're just fake as they can be, and yet Corinth is blown away and said, "Wow, these guys are great! And Paul said, all right, I need to brag a little bit so you'll know that these people are just men because you swallowed a big lie because they have impressed you. You know, carnal people are easily impressed. Look at verse 18. I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but we're going to get to it. 2 Corinthians 11:18. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. He said that they've been bragging, they've been glorying after the flesh, and you've been impressed, so I'm going to do the same thing. Verse number 19. What a verse. For ye suffer fools gladly. Good night. Boy, that hurt. Can you imagine them reading that in church one night? Hey, we got the letter from Paul. Tonight we're reading chapter, or they didn't have any chapter. Tonight we're going to read from this letter from Paul. All right, get up and read it. All right. Ye suffer fools gladly. You're impressed with a bunch of foolish people. Look at the verse again. Seeing that, it says, for ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. He says, you are so smart that fools impress you. That's pretty sarcastic, isn't it? You know, sarcasm's not always wrong. Now, it can be. But now look at the context we're in. Boasting is usually wrong, right? It's not in this case. Why? Because he's trying to get them to quit listening to the... He's trying to get them to stop listening to the wrong people. He's trying to cut off all these people that have impressed them. And so he's going to glory for a while to show that their glory is not really that bright. And that they're a bunch of fakes. And so when he says, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also, for ye suffer fools gladly, seeing you yourselves are wise. And of course they weren't wise. And this is, I'll get some practical here. We are impressed with the most pitiful things today. And that's the way it is with carnal people. They're impressed with the flesh. They're impressed with the glory of the flesh. They're impressed with the pompousness of the flesh. They're impressed with people's outward beauty. Is that right? Boy, I'm so glad that God didn't pick His ministers based upon who was the prettiest or the most handsome. Isn't that good He didn't do it that way? You know what that means? All of us can get in on a ministry. Because God is not impressed with how pretty you are. God's not impressed with how handsome you are. But oh, Corinth, here comes the fakers. And they had the hair and they had, oh wow, looking 7 foot tall and dark and handsome and bulging muscles and oh, they can speak just perfectly. Wow. And they couldn't tell a fake. You know what? They're so carnal, they can't spot a fake because they're easily impressed with nothing. It's like people make, you know, you can make a pretty meal and it really be nothing. Matter of fact, you can put fake food on a plate and it looks pretty. It doesn't even have to be real food. You can make Play-Doh food and put it on a plate. But it doesn't look like the burnt stuff that my wife gave me last week. That's pretty. It's fake. We're so impressed with the flesh. Guys, do you know every pretty woman one day is going to be dead? Every handsome man one day is going to be feeble. Why are we so impressed with flesh? We're all going to die. And I preached on that, but boy, they're impressed with it. And some people, it's not the flesh in that way. Here's another glory of the flesh. Impressing somebody's education. Maybe they came in and they were so educated and they just seemed like, wow, this is the smartest preacher that I've ever heard in my life. Paul doesn't talk like that. He didn't. You know what? How he didn't even talk like an educated man. We'll get to that in a moment. But boy, when they, you know, Paul, he's just rude and crude and. But boy, these guys came to preach and we left church feeling good. But I never heard it. And they only spoke for 20 minutes. And we liked it. I felt good about it. What'd he say? I don't know, but it was great. Had a great time. You know how easily people are impressed? They're impressed with Hollywood. Oh, how wonderful. If I could just be like her. If I could just be like him. If I could just have him. If I could just have her. You wouldn't want it if you had it. They're the most miserable people in the world. You're impressed with fluff. You're looking at a marshmallow with a hole in it. There's nothing there. You're looking at people that have no character, that can't keep their marriages together, or their sanity together, or their morality together, and most all of them are going to hell. Why would I be impressed? Well, they're beautiful. Well, take a picture. Why would I? Boy, LeBron can dunk. Guys, listen. If LeBron James was across the street giving away free autographs and audience to people, I wouldn't even go across the street. I'm serious. I wouldn't give a flip unless I go across the street to tell them about Jesus. I'd do that. I'm not impressed. What are you impressed with? Who impresses you? I don't even know who the actresses are now, but just whichever one of them. I don't know. Pick one of them. If they were across the street, I'd go home. Guys, I'm not impressed with people that are half insane. That doesn't impress me. And that don't even know where they're going with their life, and don't appreciate God, and don't respect God, and can't even meet the needs of their own heart. Why should I be impressed? Boy, that's the kind of people that came in and they gloried in their flesh. Maybe they gloried in their physical beauty. Maybe they gloried in their education. Maybe they gloried in how well they could speak. So many people are impressed by friends they don't even have. They're impressed by people on social media they'll never meet. They're impressed by politicians or activists or maybe a co-worker. Listen, but not impressed with God. Do you know what? It's a testimony that people don't know God when they're impressed with such fluff of the world. Because once you've met God, Taylor Swift doesn't cut it. Once you've met God, the rich and famous, the powerful, what are they to God? A drop in a bucket. What does it matter? Guys, I know God. I know God in a personal way. I talked to Him today. And He talked to me today. And if you, the reason that people are impressed with all of that is because they've never made a connection with God, and so everything impresses them. Just as long as it's got a little paint, a little glitter, a little gold, a little power, a little popularity. What a fake, fake world. That's why I like to bring Brother Andy Lethwich around, his wife. You know, if you go up to talk to Brother Andy, you say, Brother Andy, you were on the Tonight Show. He'd go, yeah. Brother Andy, you played on a Taylor Swift album? Yeah. That was in another life. Brother Andy, I don't know how many Grammys he's won. I don't know. He's won four Grammys? Four Grammys. You talk to Andy, you know what? He's not impressed with any of those people. Matter of fact, I was talking to Brother Travis in Florida. He was giving these, I don't even know who these country stars are. I don't listen to country music. I mean, I don't need to hear about another dog dying and somebody else getting drunk and swapping wives. I'm not interested in all that. But he starts flipping out names of country people I never heard of in my life. And they call up Brother Andy in the airport. Can you come play on our album? He said, no, I'm busy. You know why? He's not impressed. Amen. You know why? He knows God.
Amen.
When you know God, when you know something real, you don't have to be impressed with the face. So Paul's got the real deal, but they're impressed with somebody else besides the real deal. And he's trying to get them to stop and think about that for just a minute. Look what these people have done. Look at verse 20. 2 Corinthians 11:20. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage. He said, you're letting other people... You have turned your self over to other people, and they're actually bringing you into bondage. You know, when you live for others that you're impressed with, they actually have you in bondage. Now you're trying to impress and please other people that you think are so great, and they've got you in bondage, and they're nothing. He said, you suffer, you allow these people to bring you into bondage. He says, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, you know, I really believe these. I believe these fakers are taking, they're stealing things from their lives. They're devouring things from their lives. Maybe they're taking their money. Maybe they're, I don't know what they're taking, but they're devouring them. And Paul is the opposite. He's going, his resume in the verses we read tonight, he wasn't taking from them, he was giving to them. But the fakers that they were impressed with just want to take from them. Just want to take from them. He says, if a man devour you, verse 20, if a man take of you, you see that? Watch this. If a man exalt himself, why would you listen to someone that's trying to exalt himself instead of exalt Jesus? But that's what they were doing. Look at the last phrase of verse 20. If a man smites you on the face, you are even letting people get physical with you and have a physical impact on your life, and you're tolerating it. You said, preacher, how could they accept that? How can our society accept what we've accepted? I never thought I'd see the day when Americans would put up with so much stuff. It's amazing how much American freedom-loving people are putting up with. That's affecting their lives. They're letting the demands of others affect every area of their life instead of letting the demands of God affecting every area of their life. He says, man, you're letting them smite you on the face. If you let them smite you on the face, why can't you take my preaching? You know what, guys? You know our society. I was telling Brother Gibson today. I think it was Monday. They arrested an 80-year-old man in London. An 80-year-old. He's a Methodist. I don't know where the Baptists were. An 80-year-old Methodist man got on a soapbox and stood up in London and started preaching the Bible. And he started preaching that we're made in the image of God, and if you try to change your gender or who you are, you're going against the God that created you and loved you. And he just was preaching the Bible. You know the police came and arrested that man and threw him in jail, an 80-year-old man. And you know what he said? He said, I thought we had freedom to preach. Do you know what they told him? I've got the quote, right? I've got the quote. They said, sir, you do not have the freedom to say things that offend people. And they put him in jail. And he spent the night in jail. You know what what happened today? In Finland. I think this guy was Lutheran. I mean, all these people coming out of the woodwork. And I'm saying, where are the Baptists? I mean, that guy up in Canada they threw in jail, he wasn't a Baptist. I think this guy was a Lutheran. They criminally charged this guy. Criminal charges from the police because he put on his social media Romans chapter 1. He didn't preach. He didn't go out of his house. He put on his social media page what God says about homosexuality in Romans chapter 1, and he quoted the verses, and he was criminally charged by the police.
Good preaching.
I sent that to a pastor friend of mine, and he texted me back, and he said something. I didn't like it. I did. I didn't like it. He said, Brent, he said, I think it's likely that you and I we'll spend the end of our lives in prison. And I don't want that. But Paul says this, you'll let somebody smite you on the face, but when somebody just brings you the truth, you can't take it. You'll take all of the fakers and all the deceiving and all the lies and all the fluff and all the stuff that won't help you in your life or help you in eternity, and you'll listen to all that. But when God brings you the truth, you would rather have the fake than the truth. That's where our whole society is. Truth is rejected. And that's, I understand the world rejecting it, really. I understand the government's rejecting it, but I don't understand the Church of Corinth rejecting it. Why would they want a faker? Why would the people of God want something that wasn't true? Why would they put up with all of this right in their face, but they can't receive the things of the Lord plainly? Let's just go through a few of these things he brags about. We'll be finished tonight. Verse number 5. He says, "For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles." Y'all know what a whit is, don't you? You ever whittled anything? Just one stroke. That's a whit. He said, I was not a whit behind the very chief. You talk about Peter and James and John. He said, I'm not a whit behind them. As a matter of fact, look at chapter 12, the next chapter. He said in chapter 12, verse 11, I am become a fool in glorying. He's still doing it. Ye have compelled me. You made me do this. For I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind, look at it, the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. I love how Paul says that. I am nothing behind the very chiefest apostles, but I'm nothing. Matter of fact, he told us another place he was the chief of sinners. So if he's not a whit behind the chiefest apostles, if they don't have anything on him, and he's nothing, you know what that means? That means all of us are a bunch of nothing. And if all of us are a bunch of nothing, why would we be impressed with a bunch of nothing? That's what he's trying to say. But he says, they don't have anything on me. Peter can't preach any better than I can preach. John can't heal people any better than I heal them. James didn't write any more scripture than I did. I wrote more than he did. Why would you be impressed with the faith? He's bragging. Verse number 6. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 6. For though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. He said, you guys ought to know me. You know, I may not talk like it, but I wasn't raised in a pumpkin patch. I know what I'm not rude in knowledge. I do know something. Just because I didn't brag about my education doesn't mean I don't know what I'm talking about. He says, I'm rude in speech. Now, guys, we've got to look at what the dictionary says rude is, because there are some preachers that have read that verse and they try to be rude to people in the sense of the word where it's not used. Let me just read you from the dictionary, the old dictionary, what rude means. Rude means rough. Paul was a rough preacher. He's rough. And so, I wonder who impressed them. It was. Rude means rough. It means rugged. Unpolished. I remember they told Brother Roloff they're going to give him a doctor degree. He said, well, that's like putting whipped cream on an onion. He didn't want a doctor's degree. Somebody to make fun of education gave John R. Rice's horse a doctor degree. That's true. And he probably deserved it better than some, but the horse, I'm saying. But he said, I'm not rude in knowledge, but I'm rude in speech. You're not impressed with the way I talk because it's unpolished. Rude means uncivil. Harsh. Ignorant. Untaught. Not skilled. But you know, he was not that way because he was dumb. He was just trying to be plain. You know what he said? He said, because of this, I'm going to use great, because this is so important, I'm going to use great plainness of speech. Seeing that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. That's chapter 3, verse 12 of this epistle. He said, I talk very plainly to you. He said in chapter 10 and verse 10, he said, you say my speech is contemptible. We talked about that before. He told them in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, my speech and my preaching, he says, was not with excellency of speech or wisdom. He said, when I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. I'm not trying to impress you with what I'm saying or how I'm saying it. I'm trying to let the power of God take the Word of God and change your life. I don't want you to be impressed with the show. I want God to change your heart. And man, when he came to preach, you weren't impressed with his flesh. And you weren't impressed with his speech. But I'd say you were impressed with the power of God. That's why I just haven't. I got over it about my third or fourth year out of Bible college. I've never been impressed with these people that show off their education with the Greek language, you know. They won't talk about the original languages. You know, I could say, you know, right here in chapter 11 and verse number 5, it says, I was not a whit behind the chiefest of apostles. Now, that whole phrase, I was not a whit behind, that's two Greek words. And those two Greek words made in hustrakinai. And those two words talk about the fact that he was not inferior. And he was not even one step behind. And the masculine and the feminine and the neuter, they're all, he wasn't behind a man or a woman or even a neuter animal. He's not behind anybody. Made in hustrakinai. Who cares? You know what I like? I like the wit. I can get a hold of that wit. But there's not a person in here that knows that what I just said about that. That's right out of the Greek New Testament. You can't read it anyway. Who cares? You wouldn't know what it meant anyway. And I don't want to talk about it. I took it to Greece with me and read it to a guy. He looked at me like I was weird. If people in Greece don't understand the Greek New Testament, they ain't nobody need to read the Greek New Testament. Amen. And I studied all that, but we don't use that. But oh, the people like to use that trade. That's trade language, you know. It's like doctors that use words you can't understand, so you'll be impressed with what they know. Or mechanics that talk about things in the car that you've never heard of, so you'll be impressed if they can fix it. Well, the guys that use the trade language with the Bible or speak over your heads. And Paul wasn't that way. He put it right where you live. You didn't have to guess what he's talking about you. He's talking about your life. It's right there. And that's what they were not impressed with. They'd rather have somebody come in and flower it up a bit, you know. He says, I was rude in speech, but not in knowledge. I mean, he said he spoke in tongues more than everybody. You know, there's probably no way to know how many languages Paul the Apostle knew. You know how dumb Americans are. We Americans only know one language, and they're working on that one. Really? But smart people know all kinds of languages. And Paul knew all that, but He wasn't trying to impress. He's just trying to give people the gospel. What impresses you? Does the book impress you? What the Holy Ghost is talking to your heart, does that impress you? Though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. He was a brilliant man. If you studied all the words, the vocabulary of the Apostle Paul, he makes Peter look like a fisherman. But Paul, he's the brainiac. He's the summa cum laude graduate. Yeah. I was just magna, so I'm... But you like my Cambridge tie. Where does that say that's from? That impressed you, brother. We're talking about...
China.
That don't say China. Lying in church, Larry. David, can you read, son? It says universities. That's from Cambridge University in London. That is. I bought that there when I was studying for my thesis, for my master's degree. You're laughing. That's true. I've got a library card to prove it. Benjamin, tell him I'm not lying. I studied at Cambridge doing research for my master's thesis. Aren't you impressed? I can tell you're laughing yourself off. Well, why are we impressed with all this? Look, guys, you ought to be impressed with somebody that can walk with God. You ought to be impressed with somebody that can keep their family together, keep their sanity together, that can live for Jesus, that can keep their flesh under control, that know how to pray. That know how to talk to somebody about Jesus from the Bible. Amen. That know where they're going when they die. And they're happy about it.
Amen.
He says, I'm glorying after the flesh, but it's foolish. Because you guys are just impressed with all these fakes. He said in verse number 7, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? You see, these fakes, they exalted themselves and they're taken from you. But what I did, I abased myself. I just came down lowly among you so you could be exalted. And I preached the gospel of God to you freely. I didn't charge for it. Look at verse 8. I robbed other churches. Have y'all ever read that in the Bible? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, in other words, he had a need, but he didn't even let them meet the need. I was chargeable to no man. He's bragging. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I've kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself. He said, I didn't take anything from you. And even when you should have paid the preacher, I had to let other churches support me so I could preach to you. And yet you're impressed with a guy that's going to come in and take your money. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them. And those were poor churches, those churches of Macedonia that were coming to there and bringing his monetary support to meet his needs. And that should have been impressive. Are you listening to me? You know what should impress you? Somebody that would sacrifice their life for you. That's what should impress you. Somebody that would give of themselves for you. Somebody that would pray for you. Somebody that would try to help you to putting their self behind. But that's rarely what impresses. In verse 11, he says, wherefore, because I love you not... God knoweth. You know what he's telling them? He said, I love you. You know what his bragging is? I bet he could say it. They don't love you like I love you. They don't care for you like I care for you. And you're impressed with somebody that does not care for your soul. Mm. Let's take all the bragging and the boasting aside. We need to brag on Jesus and praise His name and glory in the Lord. But I'm telling you guys, the average Christian is so impressed with nothing. And Paul's going to say, before he's through this chapter, you want to see something to be impressed with? Here's my resume for Jesus.